Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is our text. Rest. Just that one word, rest. It's such a pleasant little word, isn't it? It even has a nice ring to it, I'd say, a soothing sound. There's something quiet, calm, and peaceful about it. Rest. It's like gentle waves lapping the beach, or like a light breeze through leaves or falling rain, like the monotonous hum of a fan at night. Rest. There's nothing I want more than rest, and there's nothing that's quite so hard to find. But even when I talk about wanting to rest or relax, I talk about it as if rest were another thing for me to do, as if it were another project to check off my list. It's been a bit of a standing joke for Kristen to hear me say I want to rest or relax, and my siblings and my mom too, as if it's work that we have to do. The harder you try to rest, the less of it you have. Because rest doesn't work like that. You can't accomplish it. The more you try to hold on to it, the quicker it just slips through your fingers. Because rest is a gift, not an achievement. And now the rest that I'm after isn't just rest from a busy household, which some of you may be thinking of. It's not just rest from the responsibilities of work. It's not just rest from the needs and expectations of other people. If that's all I wanted, then an early bedtime or a retreat or a vacation or even a long walk might be enough. That kind of rest is fine. It's good. But a trip to the ocean, as enjoyable as it can be, isn't enough. Not when there are little ones to watch. Not when there are coronavirus restrictions to observe. Not when there's the battle with traffic, there and back, and not when you've got the lingering sunburn after coming home from the ocean. As restful as it is, it can be even pretty stressful. No, what I'm looking for is something that's so much harder to find. It's rest from myself. I want a break from me. I want to get away from my worries and fears, from my temptations and distractions, from my sin, guilt, and shame. What I want is relief from the tension and stress of being coiled in on myself. What about you? That's what St. Paul wanted too, because that's what he said about himself in Romans 7. He wrote this after he was baptized and became a Christian, not before. He says, "I don't understand my own actions, for I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Preach it, brother. That's my life too. Now, if I do what I don't want, I agree with the law that it's good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." You can say that again. "For I don't do the good I want, but the evil I don't want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I don't want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. And how can I get rid of that?" Where can I find that kind of rest? Rest not just for the body, but for the soul. Rest from the sin that dwells within me. Rest from the sin that's killing me and killing those I love. Oh, what a mess I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I'm sure you've heard the proverb that there's no rest for the weary. Have you ever felt that way? Do you feel that way now, maybe? Stretched to the limit with no relief, loaded with burdens that you can never put down, forced to continue no matter how tired or overworked you may feel, whether it's at home or at work or wherever. So you just keep going through the motions each day while discouragement and despair are pounding on the door. It's different than the kind of exhaustion that follows a hard day's work and a job well done. What I'm talking about is the exhaustion of work that's never done, of a life that's never perfect. To be honest, that sounds an awful lot like hell, doesn't it? A place without rest, no Sabbath. So different than the Garden of Eden, where God put Adam and Eve. There in Eden was a place of perpetual rest. Sure, Adam and Eve had work to do. There were animals to name. There was a garden to tend. They were to exercise dominion and care over God's good creation. But even all of that was restful for them. Because everything that Adam and Eve first did in the Garden of Eden, when it was perfect, all of it was done in the rest of God's blessing on them and in the rest of God's gifts to them. But the fall into sin changed all of that, made the world that you and I know now. It brought curses, pain, sweat, struggle in work, people turned against one another, husbands against wives and wives against husbands, and parents against children and children against parents, and all of us against God. Perhaps that's why they say there's no rest for the wicked. In fact, that's actually biblical. The Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, there is no peace for the wicked. And the wicked are like the tossing and churning sea. It cannot keep quiet, and its waters toss up mud and dirt. That's how the devil likes it. He'll never allow his followers to rest from their evil works, and if he has his way, he'll never let us find rest from the sin that dwells within us or the death that follows us. He would keep our sin ever before us, like right here in front of us. Earlier I said that rest is a gift and not an achievement. But I'd like to say that's not entirely true. Rest for the soul is never our achievement. But there is someone who works to give you and me rest. Someone who comes righteous and having salvation for you. Someone who is meek and humble of heart. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Jesus came, and he shouldered the sin of the world. Jesus came, and he put on the body of death. If we're so wearied by our sin and the burden of our sin, can you imagine what it was like for him to carry the sin of the world? Not just my sin, but mine and yours and everyone else's in the entire world, putting that sin on his back, lugging it around. And not only to carry that sin, but to bear the full weight, the wrath, the punishment, the hell. Just picture him loaded down with that cross as he goes on the way of sorrow. And what rest did our Lord have? In his ministry, he brought rest to the sick. He brought rest to the sorrowing and to the weary and to the burdened. But he himself had no rest. How many times do we hear about people pressing in against the doors of the house when the night is late and he's been working hard all day and there's another one still to heal? Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Or those times when the Gospels depict his enemies constantly coming at him with yet another test, another challenge. And then his arrest. And then his suffering. And then his crucifixion for my sins and yours. And then finally, for our Lord, came that sweet rest. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I rest. It is finished. I rest." And Joseph of Arimathea took the body of our Lord and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in a new tomb which he had cut in the rock. And our Lord rested from all the work that he had done in that tomb, from all his work of carrying your sins and mine, from all his work of bearing death in his body. Jesus labored and was heavy laden so that we would rest in him. So we come back to that little word, rest. What a pleasant little word it is. It's got a nice ring to it, a soothing sound, rest. Forget about the waves lapping the ocean. Forget about the hum of the fan at night. No, rest like Jesus in the tomb, his agony, cross, and passion over, his hard work of carrying my sin and dying my death all finished. Rest like the baptismal ocean that buried you and me with Jesus and now brings the newness of life each day. Rest like the wind of heaven, clean and clear, on whose breath my sins and yours are forgiven. Rest like the steady hum of Christ, who week after week keeps repeating, your sins are forgiven, given and shed for you, for your forgiveness. And notice here today, Jesus isn't asking you to do anything. He isn't asking you to accomplish anything. He isn't putting more demands or more burdens on you. He's simply inviting you to rest in him. And he's literally, you might say, dragging you with your sin-sick, dying body into his rest. He's pulling us with him as if he's a strong ox yoked to us who are dying ones. And he pulls us into life. Rest. I'm reminded of the last sermon preached by Martin Luther. It was actually on this text, Matthew 11, 25 to 30. He proclaimed these words of Jesus, and then Martin did as he was told. Being weary, he went to him who says, come to me. And he found the rest that he'd had in Christ during his life, but in its fullness and completeness when he went to be with his Lord. If you're like me, if you're like Martin, and I suspect you are, that's what you've been looking for too. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. There you have it, dear Christian. You can rest in Christ. You can rest in his word. You can rest in his promises and in his gifts today and tomorrow until he takes you home to that rest that is eternal. Find your rest in him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.